Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we will preview a big heavyweight matchup over on ESPN where Chris will be part of the call. We have some headlines to get to. Spence and Thurman at 154 pounds. Anthony Joshua, I think, has a new trainer. Fury and Usyk inching closer. And a slew of fights were announced over this past week. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. This is a product of John Boy Media, Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, the former world champ, looking sharp on location. He can't share with us where he is just yet. Giving a little bit of hints away with the shirt. What's going on, Chris? How's everything going?
Everything's good. Everything's good down here in South Florida. Still got some good weather, but yeah, been a busy week. A lot of on set stuff, but good things coming up.
Talking a lot of boxing, I'm sure what you're doing over there. So we're gonna talk some more boxing here, and let's get right into it. Biggest story of the week in the boxing world is a fight that we kind of knew was coming, and that's Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. But there was a little bit of a wrench thrown into this, and that is the fight happening at 154 pounds. I don't think anyone saw that coming. We saw Spence kind of flirting with 154, talking about it nonstop. When the fight with Crawford broke down, we said, oh, great. Does this mean Spence is now going to move to 154? Crawford's also talked about going up to 154 to fight Charlo. What was your initial thoughts on this? Because I have my thoughts, too, but the... I don't think the fight was surprising. I think the 154 pounds is what fans are like, what? Like, what are we talking about here? Spence is a champ at 147. Like, why is he fighting at 154 in a non-title fight against Keith Thurman?
I like the fight. You know, like you said, this is not a surprise that this is the matchup. That's all good. I like the fight. I think it's another good litmus test to see how good Spence is and how above and beyond the other competition at 147 there is, and how much we definitely need the Crawford fight. But the fact that it's at 154 tells me that pessimistic Chris has come, is rearing his head, that Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence is never happening. And it's definitely not happening at 147. I can't imagine that Spence at 32 years of age, moving up to 54, like you said, I've been talking about forever, is going to fight Thurman at 54 and then move back down to 47 to defend his titles and then unify with Crawford. I just don't see that realistically happening.
So if that's the case, and I agree, you don't go backwards when you're at that weight and at that age. He does have 60 days after the fight is over with Thurman to renegotiate a fight with Crawford. The WBA is allowing him to make a non-title defense at 154 pounds. So there is a window for them to salvage the fight. Most fans don't care at this point. I still want to see Spence and Crawford fight. Let me ask you this. Spence and Crawford do fight, and it's at 154 pounds instead of 147 for all the belts. Does that change your thoughts on the fight? Does it lose some of its luster, in your opinion?
Yes. Dramatically changes the fight. We're not seeing the unification at 147 that we want. We're not seeing both men at their ideal weight classes. This would, and if they do fight at 54, that's going to be Crawford's fourth weight class.
Wow.
Spence's second, right? Crawford 35, yep. 40. World champion at 35. Undisputed at 40. 47 world champion. Yeah, then he's going to fight Spence at 54.
Well, we don't know if there's going to be no title on the line there because Charlo has all the belts, but...
Right.
It's interesting.
So the luster of the fight is absolutely tarnished if they happen to happen at 54 rather than 47.
What a mess. I mean, what a mess all around. Like, welterweight division, we've talked about this numerous times on the show, is one of the most glamorous divisions in the sport, and we have no idea what's going on in it right now. We have a unified titleist going up to 154. We got a guy in Crawford has won defense over the last 15, 16 months. We got all these young guys in line waiting for their chance and not getting their chance. Along with 160, these are two of the strangest weight classes that for years have been the weight classes that we always thought we could depend on. I do think this is the end at Spence at 147. You know, he has said numerous times to anyone that wanted to listen, I'm my own boss. I will never fight Keith Thurman, ever. I don't like the guy. He's corny. I'm my own boss. I don't have to do it. Well, clearly that's thrown out the window here because there's no one else for Spence to fight where it would make sense for it to be a pay-per-view. And I do like the fight. I do. Do I think it's happening 2 years too late? Yes. Do I still think it will be a fun fight for however long it lasts? Yes. Do I think Spence is going to win this fight pretty convincingly? Yes. And that's mostly because Keith Thurman is a part-time fighter. I know he calls himself one-time. I think he should be Keith part-time because look at his – look, go to his – pull up his box rec. It's absurd. He has – his last fight – and think how much we cover and we follow this sport. I had to think in my mind. It's like, wait, he fought Mario Barrios, but I'm pretty sure he had another fight since then. No. Like, I couldn't even think of when Keith Thurman's last fight was, and I spent every day following the sport. His last fight was in February of last year. Before that, it was Pacquiao in July of 2019. But before that, it was Jose Ciro Lopez, which was like 2018. Or he has like five fights in the last 5 years. I don't know what to make of this. Like, I don't know if there's an appetite for this fight in terms of people buying it. It's great that Spence is back, and every time Spence fights, I will tune in. Love to watch Errol Spence fight. But like the overwhelming response that I've gotten on social media and from fight fans was like, we don't care about this fight. We care about Spence and Crawford still.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change much as we get closer. But I do think once it's in the rear view that it's going to be an important matchup because that's the last of that guard. Keith Thurman is the last of that welterweight landscape that we used to see. Porter fought both guys. Mm-hmm. He lost to both. He's retired. He's no longer there. You know, Spence came up with those guys, you know, the Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Danny Garcia, Sean Porter, Errol Spence, those guys pretty much have all gone the wayside. Thurman, who his career may have been extended because he hasn't been fighting as often, is still around. So it's one of those four kings that needed to get his head lopped off by Spence in order to close out that era.
I was just thinking that too on the drive into work today. It's like all these guys have all fought each other. It took several years for it to happen. I think 2014 or 2015. I could be wrong. Maybe 2016 is the first time one of them squared off. I think it was Danny Garcia versus Thurman. And then it kind of set off a domino effect where it went on for years and years up until last year where Crawford fought Porter. Like Sean Porter fought all of them. Crawford did not fight all of them because he was frozen out with Top Rank. But, you know, all those combinations have all fought each other. We've not gotten the Spence versus Thurman fight. And it got me thinking about, like, the PBC in general. Like, I'm thinking about who they have left in terms of star power because Thurman, obviously on his way out, we just talked about that. Spence now, I still has a few good years left in it. Wilder is getting up there in age. They don't have as many prospects that Matchroom has, and they definitely don't have as many prospects as Top Rank has. Like, they have these big names, and they can throw out a fight like Spence and Thurman, and then they're household names for boxing fans. But it's like, all right, what about in the next, like, 2-3 years? What about the next 3 to 5 years? Like, who's coming up the ranks that are signed with Al Haymon and PBC? They have a lot of big names, but they're names that are well above 30.
Well, will PBC still be here in 3 to 5 years? That's a whole other question.
Well, I think they will.
You know, with the way the boxing is going, you never know. It's the wild, wild west, and that's kind of always the case. But things are changing. The sport's changing. Streaming came in and changed a ton of things. Then you've got these massive networks like DAZN coming out of nowhere and taking over. Things are changing. Things are changing, and I'm curious to see how some of these companies, these promotional companies, move with the wave. And I think some of them might get toppled. And we've seen a lot of promoters get toppled recently, between the change in the business itself, as well as COVID and a number of different things. But Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time, and it's impossible to tell the future.
I also want to know what it means for the Tank Ryan pay-per-view, because that's supposed to be April, and they're talking about Spence Thurman being April, too. Something we've seen from networks is they don't really like to put two pay-per-views in the same month. This would be a PBC, two PBC pay-per-views, because Showtime is taking over the telecast for Tank versus Ryan if that happens April 15th. You got to figure Spence Thurman will happen either 2 weeks before that or at the end of the month. That's another thing to keep in mind, too. It's like, are they going to put two pay-per-views on at the same time? If I'm Ryan Garcia, I'm like, what is going on here? Because I missed out on a tune-up fight or a fight in January because you guys assured me that this fight was happening with Tank. If they push that fight back to May or June, that's not good for anybody for a fight that no one wants.
Then you're also dealing with the Cinco de Mayo Canelo pay-per-view card.
Right, so, he's fighting John Ryder, it looks like.
Right, and that's likely to happen, and that's definitely going to be that Cinco de Mayo weekend. And we're talking about pay-per-views, we're talking about eyes, we're talking about interest. You don't want to bump heads with Canelo, especially return after his surgery, and he's been off for a while. Yeah, I mean, it's good when we have these big fights, but it's not good when there's paywalls in front of all of them, and you're going to have to start picking and choosing as a fan based on your bankroll, what you're going to pay for and what you're going to catch on YouTube highlights later.
Yeah, fans want to see Tank Ryan. That takes precedent over pretty much every fight on the schedule coming up because it's new.
If it happens in April, I'm still sticking with that. I'm not sure that fight's happening.
I just saw Ryan Garcia on another show, and he was talking about it's 100% happening. It's I got the contracts are there. We just have to figure out a date. We're figuring out the undercard. No news there yet as we record this. There have not. I'm waiting for that official Showtime email with a date, with at least one undercard on it, with a venue for Tank Ryan, and we're booking our flights, and we'll head out there. So that was some surprising news, Spence Thurman.
Yes.
Overall consensus is, I like the fight. I think it's 2 years too late. Hate that it's at 154. Doesn't make any sense. What's going to happen in the next 60 days after that fight when it comes to the other guys at 147, like the Bootses and the Stanionis, Virgil Ortiz, who have been waiting patiently for these two to fight,
That fight just fell out too.
It's going to happen. It just got pushed back. Stanionis, what did he get?
Appendectomy, yeah.
I got that one right. I'm surprised I was able to get that word right in the first try. Nice. Killed
nice
that.
Job. Nice yeah. job. Dr. Dan.
Dr. Dan reporting every day. What does it
Dr.
mean?
Dan, the eternal optimist.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'm slamming the door shut on Spence Crawford finally. And if it does happen at 154, it's like it does lose its luster, and it's weird because fans say they don't care about belts, right? Like belts don't matter. There's too many belts. That shouldn't matter. It should be about the two fighters that are in the ring giving us a quality fight. Like, it probably will be a better fight at 154 because they'll be more towards their natural weights, especially at their advanced age, but in terms of being an athlete. But I still wanted to see some, like, who's the guy at 147? Like, who was the best welterweight? We just talked about eras, right? Who is the best welterweight of this era that's about to be the door slammed shut on it? If it hasn't already been shut, because these two aren't fighting at 147. They're fighting at 154. So you can make a case that this last era of welterweight that you were a part of too, fighting at 147, like, we will never know who's the best of it. Like, it will rage on forever, and that just sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have to compare those two, but it's so difficult because a lot of people are like, they're big Terrence Crawford fan, but he's got one belt. And not only does Spence have three belts, but he beat all the champions to get the belt. That's impressive. That's one of the most impressive things about Spence is he beat Sean Porter, Danny Garcia, Kell Brook.
Right.
You know, he got these. Kell Brook, we didn't mention him earlier. He's a part of that welterweight guard. He fought all those guys as well. And he was a very, very good fighter. He beat Sean Porter, first guy to ever beat him, was a legitimate world champion in one of the toughest weight classes. And, you know, the guy that Spence won his first world title from. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Kell Brook is in that mix too. Spence fought them all. The only one he didn't fight is Crawford. And the only belt he doesn't have is that WBO.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. We'll see what happens after they fight. It's supposed to be sometime in April. There's a 60-day window for Crawford.
It's not a lot of time.
It's a 60,
to jump back down and wait now.
Yeah. Him going back down.
And in this era, these guys at this level don't fight that often anyway.
It would have to be at the end of the year. Yeah. It would have to be a late, you know, December pay-per-view between Spence and Crawford. Maybe it does happen at 154. There are options for them at 154. They're running out of options for them at 147. It's very clear. We just talked about that at length. There are a lot of options for Spence at 154. There are a lot of options for Crawford at 154. There's some new names, new battles for them. But that's not what fans want to see. Fans wanted to see some an ending. They wanted to see them step into the ring. So that was the biggest news of the week, Spence and Thurman. How about a little fight preview? You'll be traveling to Turning Stone. Pack your winter coat. It's going to be cold. You're leaving sunny Florida. On the call with, you're going to be with
Poncher.
Poncher?
My girl, CP. CP, Christina Poncher, yep.
Love that. ESPN International, ESPN Plus. This is on regular ESPN. I actually like this card a lot. It's very even matchup. If you go to DraftKings, it's like they're pretty much like, I think Shaw, Stephen Shaw versus F.A. Ajagba. And Shaw's technically the B-side, but he's the favorite in this fight. Yep. Guido Vianello versus Johnny Rice, another really close heavyweight
fight.
I like these aren't like guys that are going to be knocking on the door for heavyweight titles, but this is fun heavyweights on regular ESPN on a Saturday night. I think that's what it's all about. So Stephen Shaw, F.A. Ajagba. Ajagba, obviously, one of boxing's brightest prospects for a while. He lost to Frank Sanchez in October 2021. He says he's healthy for the first time in a long time. He had surgery on both elbows, which I found interesting. Ooh. Says he's fully healthy now. He's going to step in there, late replacement against Stephen Shaw, who I've been able to cover a lot of fights on the DiBella Broadway boxing circuit. This guy has been waiting for this opportunity, and this is a huge step up for Stephen Shaw versus F.A. Ajagba.
Yeah, this gives me shades of old Friday night fights. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you've got even matchups, good fights, not that upper echelon level, not the world championship level guys, at least not yet, not the elites, but also not the prospect fighting a cab driver that he's going to completely wash out. You know, these are good fights. They're fun fights. They're the kind of fights that you turn on and then you're like, you're watching, oh man, I gotta call a friend. You know, turn this fight on. It's a good fight. So boxing has been missing this for a while, and it's cool that Top Rank and ESPN are able to put this kind of card together. And it's exciting. I'm going to have the best seat in the house, so I'm happy about that.
We always, the thing with the heavyweight division, it's like you might, you know, like F.A. Ajagba was on that trajectory to maybe getting a title shot, but then he fought Sanchez, and that was kind of like a prospect versus prospect or contender versus contender, one must go, and it was Ajagba that went. But then the thing with Shaw is he's been waiting for this. Like this, he has put together a pretty, I would say, protected, but like a very cautious resume. Like he fought Joey DiDrequo. He won that in eight rounds. He fought Rydell Booker. I called that fight.
He stopped DiDrequo too, which is not common.
Right, in the last round, I called the fight where he fought Rydell Booker, who goes the distance with everyone. Broke his nose. Yeah. Broke Rydell Booker's nose, and he got the win. He's very meticulous, Shaw. Like the one thing about him is like he doesn't throw in combinations. He kind of looks at one shot, and I would like to see him be a little more aggressive. But I do think like he can win this fight. Like he's a favorite on the books, which doesn't always mean everything. But like if he wins this fight, and the thing with the heavyweight division, it's like Anthony Joshua's looking for an opponent right now. You could be one call away in the heavyweight division right now. Look at Jermaine Franklin getting a shot against in his last fight against White. Like, if you are a guy with an O, if you are a American heavyweight like Stephen Shaw, if you are someone that's already signed with a powerful promoter, co-promoted by Top Rank and with DiBella, you win this fight, like you're in the running for one of these guys or another step up and more money. That's what it's all about. So that's why, like, one reason for fans to tune in, because I think both sides are like very hungry in this fight.
Yeah, and you said it. When you're a heavyweight with an O, there is an opportunity to skyrocket into those upper echelons and just be an opponent and make big money. And that's one of the reasons that managers and promoters would like to get behind heavyweights, especially when they're undefeated and especially if they're American, because the ability to make money is one fight away, it's one win away. So, you know, these guys are there. Again, like you said, they're not the elite level guys, but they could find themselves across the ring from one of those elite level guys and looking at elite paychecks as well.
Yeah, that's what Shaw wants. I've gotten to know him over the years, just like waiting. And now he's stepping up because this is supposed to be Oscar Rivas versus Jagba. And I think it was supposed to be Shaw versus Guido Vianello, who was on the undercard. Ooh. Guido Vianello.
Those are good fights, too.
Guido Vianello, what a name. Italian heavyweight. Fighting Johnny Rice, who has been in there with some names.
Johnny's tough.
Johnny Rice is a tough guy. Big dude. Huge.
Yeah.
Throws a lot of punches. Is always in fun fights. That should not go around. It's like at Johnny Rice. Where is he? I'm trying to pull up his box rec. But that's the undercard. Co-main. Adam Lopez, Abraham Nova. That might steal the show.
Like that fight a lot.
Both guys.
I mean, I like Adam Lopez always. Whenever he fights, he's always in a good fight. He's fighting, literally, he could be fighting like a journeyman type guy. It's the fun. The fight's fun, and he could be fighting a former world champion. And he's always going to put on a good show. Win, lose, or draw, the fight's going to be exciting.
So that's over on ESPN. Fun heavyweight fights. Kind of a crossroads fight between Adam Lopez and Abraham Nova. Also fighting this week, KSI. Over on DAZN. KSI is fighting not...
You can hear the excitement in my voice.
Not Dylan Danis. He's fighting like someone stepped in. Dylan Danis pulled out, which we talked about, and Faze or something. Faze something. That's over on DAZN. They just signed a 5-year extension. Misfits Boxing and DAZN. A 5-year continuation of what they do over there. So if you want to check that out, that's something that's going on this weekend. That's what's going on there. How about some headlines before we say goodbye? Anthony Joshua, someone we like to discuss on this show, someone the entire boxing world likes to dissect and figure out. Looks like he's gonna be hiring Derek James. We saw a photo surface of the two of them together. Derek James, consensus 2022 trainer of the year. Got Spence, he's got Charlo, he's got Frank Martin, awesome trainer, runs a great camp. But what stuck out here is that Anthony Joshua will be doing a full camp in the U.S. That's something all media, and I've seen it all over, not just us here on the show. It's like, this guy needs to get out of his comfort zone. This guy needs to come over to the U.S. and not just window shop and kind of helicopter in, but like do a full camp in the U.S., like where Derek James is the boss. Kind of like what Robert Garcia said. So that's encouraging, at least on that stand. Do you think Joshua and Derek James is a good fit?
Yes, I do. I mean, Derek James has been pretty much the consensus trainer of the year for good reason. You know, obviously he's been able to pull things out of his guys and brought them to the highest level. I've never worked with him myself. I've been across the ring from him, but you know, beyond that, I don't know that much about his coaching style. But I do believe that he will be a boss. I think he will be a leader in the camp, and I think that that's what Anthony Joshua needs at this point. He needs a little bit of a kick in the seat of the pants and be told what to do and do things a little bit different, get out of his comfort zone, because some changes need to be made in that camp. And you're not going to make changes when you're fighting in your backyard in your own gym and your nice fancy British gym. I think getting out of there, going to the heat of Texas and dealing with new faces and new dogs in the gym,
I think
is going to be really important. Yeah, like and that energy and the atmosphere that's going to be in there with those guys, with the Charlo brothers, with Spence, these guys getting ready for fights, that's going to be a new energy for him. And I think he needs that because he needs a new energy in his career.
The thing with Derek James is, you know, his fighter, just look at his fighters. Like Jermall Charlo doesn't mind mixing it up, taking one to land one. Spence stands in the pocket, throws 80 punches around. Obviously, if you stand in the pocket like that and you throw 80 punches around, like you're going to get hit. Joshua doesn't like to get hit. I know no fighters like to get hit, but some less than others or some are more willing. That right there gives me a little hesitation, gives me a little pause. Like, it's great that he's hiring a new trainer. It's great that he's doing the full camp. I need to see, like, ultimately it's going to come down to Joshua and what type of fighter he is, and we're still trying to figure out what type of fighter he is when he's 33 years old. Is he going to be someone that's willing to stand and trade like he did early on in his career? Or is he going to be this
like he used to be?
Right. Or is he going to be this, what he's been the last 3 or 4 years, is like a jab first, cautious type of heavyweight? That's going to be interesting to see. That's where I think James will come in and really earn his paycheck in this. So if you can get Joshua back to being a little more offensive minded, back to being that dog, or we'll see if Joshua even has that in him. You know what I mean?
I look at this comparatively to, you know, basically just one heavyweight championship generation behind us, Vladimir Klitschko, who, when we first came out, hands down, we got the next best great heavyweight. And then he faltered quite a bit. I don't know if you remember. He ran out of gas against Lehman Brewster. He gets, he gets stopped. It was bad. It was all bad.
He was dominating, but it wasn't like aesthetically pleasing.
Right, that too. But then he turned a corner and he changed his style because he had to figure out the gas tank thing. He had to figure out the chin thing. Once they figured that out, then they had to tackle his style, which was not aesthetically pleasing. American fans are not buying it. And then later to his career, he became a one-punch destroyer. He would spend an entire round just jabbing, and he would throw one right hand and the fight would end. And that's ideal. That's master boxing. That's what we want, especially in a heavyweight. Anthony Joshua needs to fight like that. In heavyweights, you can't sit there and trade. Heavyweight punch is too much. Anybody can knock anybody out. I don't think Derek James is gonna employ the same tactics that he utilizes for his 47, 54 pounders. You know, tons of punches, stay in the pocket, get hit to trade. You know, hit to be hit. Not hit to be hit, but be willing to risk it in order to land your own shots. You can't do that with heavyweight. You especially can't do that with Anthony Joshua. But also with the physical gifts that Joshua has in terms of his boxing ability and his physicality, you know, he doesn't need to get hit. And I think if they can pull, if Derek James can pull that out of him, we might see that kind of change that we saw in Vladimir Klitschko back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
That's got to be the best stable right now in boxing, if Joshua joins it. Like, come on, man. Look at that. That's so much talent. But one thing I would say about Jermell Charlo, who's under Derek James, is he doesn't throw a lot of punches, and he made a change about 5 years ago where he started sitting down more on his shots and became this, like, extreme knockout artist. One of the best knockout punchers in the game is Jermell Charlo, and he does it on, like, 35 punches a round. So maybe, you know, and James is a big part of that. So maybe he can get Joshua to do that and find that balance that you just talked about that Klitschko found in the second half. Of his career. Heavyweights is one division that we talked about at length. We always talk about, and we talked about how we want it to be more movement. Wilder's coach, Malik Scott, pretty much said Andy Ruiz is going to be next. I think we can both agree that we like that fight. Fury versus Usyk, getting good headlines there, good momentum there, inching closer, and a big reason and a big reason for that is the IBF rescinded their mandatory. They wanted I think it was Usyk to fight Hergovic, who beat Zhang. And that was going to get in the way of this four-belt unification. There's always one of these trinkets getting in the way. And they're like, nope, we're going to rescind that. So that leads me to believe that we're getting close to an agreement for Fury and Usyk. So Fury, Usyk, Wilder, Ruiz, Joshua doing his thing with – we talked about that last week – top 10 heavyweight first in April, then Dillian White in June. They're dragging that out. He's not in line anyway. So that's what's going on in the heavyweight division. So hopefully we see more movement there. All right, Chris, a lot of fights made. We're going to go through them. A lot of fights are coming through, and we're getting dates for them. And we'll do a quick yes or no, whether you like them or not. We'll start.
I'm going to go thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay. Well, we have to say, for those listening, you're going to say thumbs up or thumbs down, okay? How about cash it or trash it?
Oh, okay.
We just made up a new segment. Here we go. Spence Thurman, you cashing it or you trashing it?
Cash it. I like it.
I'm going to trash it just for the whole spectacle that it was and what everything we talked about before that we're not getting.
I get that.
The Crawford fights at 154, it makes no sense at all. I'm going to trash it, even though I do like the matchup. Wood versus Lara.
Ooh, cash it, man. I'm going with Lara.
Yeah.
That fight.
Bronco Lara versus Lee Wood. Lee Wood's going from the Mick Conlon thriller right to Bronco Lara. Mauricio Lara is a freaking beast. February 18th, I'm cashing the hell out of that one. Fulton Figueroa 2. February 25th. Mm-hmm. It's going at a different weight class. They're fighting at 126. I will cash that because the first fight was so exciting. Don't like that it's at 126, but this is like a similar situation to Spence Thurman Crawford situation where they're going up in a weight class because they simply can't make the weight anymore. I'm cashing that one. How about you?
I'm trashing that one because I don't get Inoue versus Fulton now because Fulton's going to 26 and Inoue's going to 22. I really wanted to see that fight, and I thought it was a good fight to make next for Fulton. So I'm trashing it based on that.
Even though Fulton said, I still a chance I go down to 122 to fight Inoue.
Yeah,
he might.
It's easier to jump up and down in those smaller weight classes, sure, yeah. But I'd be surprised.
Biggest money fight for him would be Inoue at 122. Yes. March 4th. This is 3 weeks in a row. So Lara, February 18th. Fulton Figueroa, February 25th. March 4th. Jack Taylor. That's not his name at all. Josh Taylor versus Jack Catterall, too. You cashing it or are you trashing it?
Cashing it because we need to clear up that first fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was way too close, way too controversial. And there's so much time has passed.
Almost a year.
It's so far in the rear view. So many stupid things have happened in between. Mm. So, I'm catching it based on the fact that it needs to happen. But I feel like I want to trash it just because it's taken this long. But no, I'm cashing it because it is finally happening.
I'm cashing it because I want to see it. I thought Catterall won the first fight. I think Taylor will win this one. He's more focused, not taking him for granted, has less distractions. It's in his hometown. Taylor's going to win that one. This one just came through the wire. April 8th, Shakur Stevenson fighting Shuichiro Yoshino. I know it's not a common name for fight fans, but he's coming off of two pretty good wins over Nakatani. Had another good win at 135. It's got some pop. It's a title eliminator in the WBC for Stevenson. Regular ESPN, April 8th. Cash, trash.
Cash because I love Shakur Stevenson. I love. I want to see him progress and go on. And it's free on ESPN.
This next upcoming one, March 25th. Jose Ramirez, Richard Comey, trashing the hell out of this. Trash, trash, trash. Throw it in the trash. Don't look at it. Maybe you want to watch it, go ahead, but I'm trashing it. Ramirez turned down the fight with Progre, didn't like the split. He's going to be fighting now in his hometown where he sells a lot of tickets, but you're fighting Richard Comey. You know, we love Richard Comey. I know he's one of your friends.
It's one of the
nicest guys you'll ever meet in boxing. But
that's absolutely true.
I mean, Jose Ramirez is they're on different trajectories, the two of these guys. You're going from fighting Progre for a world title to fighting Richard Comey. I don't understand that. I know the money wasn't right for Ramirez, but the alternative is you just lost it in line for a title. So I'm trashing it.
I can't trash my man Comey.
You got too many ties to these guys.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, him especially. I mean, I love Richard. I can't trash one of his fights. I want to see him fight. I know he wants to fight. He's always clamoring for the next opportunity, and he can get it. Ramirez is a name. I think it's a very tough fight for Richard. I don't like the style matchup specifically, but you know, it's an opportunity for Richard to shock the world once again. So
he could beat him.
My guy,
like Jose Ramirez, yes, like. He has such strange outings, such strange performances where he can look like a world beater and then he'll fight down to his competition and then he finds himself in a very like split decision type of fight. So I wouldn't put like obviously Ramirez.
He almost lost
to
Postol.
Exactly. Like Ramirez will be a favorite, but like call me a live dog in that one. All right, final one, cash or trash. Rebessi Ramirez, Isaac Dogbay. Love this fight at featherweight. I think Rebessi's got next. I think Top Rank's gonna get behind this guy. Dog Bay's been around for a while. It's on regular ESPN. Cash, cash, cash all day long.
Cash that one. Take it all the way to the bank. That's a good fight. Rubisa Ramirez is a stud. I agree. I think he's got next. Very, very talented. Getting better. I like the way that Top Rank has been moving him. You know, when he fought Abraham Nova, on paper, it looked like a mismatch looking at the records. And then he ices him. Gets a highlight reel knockout of an undefeated prospect. Very, very good fight. I like the progression so far from Ramirez, so I'm happy to see him stepping up his comp.
Yeah, featherweight's a division that is red hot. You know, we talked about Wood Conlon last year. We talked about Conlon wants to get back in there and try to win a title. Wood versus Lara, Josh Warrington, There's a ton of names at featherweight that I'm probably leaving out too, but Robesi Ramirez, I think, has got all the talent in the world, despite losing his debut, which is interesting.
Yeah. Wild to think about, especially being a multiple-time Olympian, come with the amateur pedigree that he had, to lose his pro debut to some.
I think it was a four-rounder, right?
Four-rounder, yeah.
Well, that guy's a local legend now, whoever beat him. And that guy's like, he'd be like, yeah, remember you used to box, bro? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I beat Robesi Ramirez, an Olympian. Yeah, and it takes a big, giant chug of a Bud Heavy.
A friend of mine, Rosendo, Roro, he beat Donaire early in his career. It was Donaire's first loss early in his career. He beat him early on. And he had a couple of pro fights. I think he was undefeated, actually, but he's actually become a good coach. Works with a lot of MMA guys. But that was the claim to fame. He had beaten Donaire first.
Love it. That's our show this week. Nice, tidy program. Boxing world really starting to turn a little bit. The tires are turning, getting fights we want, getting fights we don't want. Always something to talk about. Hopefully next time we're joined, Ryan and Tank are making a fight. We have a fight announcement. Safe travels up to Verona. You'll be on the call with Christina Poncher. That's the fights I'll be watching this weekend over on ESPN Plus. Any final words, Mr. Algieri?
No. Make sure you guys tune in. Boxing is alive and well. We have a new year. Hopefully the year is going to start. It's starting out great. Just like last year. Hopefully it ends that way as well.
Remember, as always, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times and stay out of those DMs. We out.